One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
The governments of the world are being backed into the corners that they've made for themselves. As more and more push for disclosure on the UAP phenomenon builds, the secrets begin to spill out. On November 13th, 2024, a groundbreaking release of new information occurred, touching on black projects, organic craft in our airspace that could share awareness with witnesses, and the potential that these UAP hold mind-bending truths about our existence. What are they still hiding, and what can we learn from what we already know?
Hello, citizen. This content creator is a confirmed conspiracy theorist and has been subject to repeated penalties for spreading controversial rhetoric. Please proceed with caution. Trust the government. Remain silent. Your compliance is appreciated and, of course, non-negotiable.
Immaculate Constellation is the alleged codename for a highly classified Pentagon program purportedly dedicated to investigating and potentially reverse engineering unidentified aerial phenomena, also known as UAPs and commonly known as UFOs. This program reportedly focuses on collecting and analyzing data related to UAP encounters with the aim of understanding and possibly replicating advanced technologies observed in these phenomena. The existence of Immaculate Constellation came to public attention through disclosures by independent journalist Michael Schellenberger, who cited information from anonymous whistleblowers. These sources allege that the program was established in 2017 following increased public and governmental interest in UAPs. The program is said to operate under strict secrecy, with limited oversight and acknowledgement from official channels. In a recent congressional hearing on November 13, 2024, Schellenberger testified about the program, submitting a report by an anonymous whistleblower alleging that the Department of Defense and intelligence community have withheld evidence from the public regarding UAPs. This testimony has intensified calls for greater transparency and accountability concerning governmental investigations into UAPs. Now, Immaculate Constellation's alleged focus on reverse engineering advanced technologies observed in UAPs raises questions about potential breakthroughs in aerospace and defense capabilities, as well as the implications for national security and public awareness. But let's be honest here. You and me, we're not exactly, at least I'm not. I don't really care if the government has UFO technology. As a matter of fact, I think a lot of UFO tech that we see is the government's. So I love it when during research, it comes up that, you know, we are interested in the potential breakthroughs in aerospace and defense capabilities. Because who's we in that situation, right? I'm not. I'm not interested in breakthroughs in aerospace and defense capabilities because of the sightings of UFOs. Not really, like not on a personal level. I'm concerned about, is the UFO going to abduct me or my dog? Or is it in my room at all times observing me through some sort of other dimension type deal? That's what I'm concerned about. But they don't really tell you about how horrifying it would actually be to be in a reality where we are constantly being observed by perhaps otherworldly intelligence. But it appears that that was a great focus during this November 13th hearing. Luis Elizondo, who is a former U.S. Army counterintelligence special agent and intelligence officer, and who has become a prominent figure in the study of UAPs, his testimony basically confidently states that there are aliens watching us, and that separately, the USA and some of our adversaries have their tech. So, I think it's safe to say that the government, no doubt, has thousands of high-quality, full-color images of UAP, UFOs, whatever, locked away. And during this meeting, these guys here basically all but confirmed that. It's obvious to see that the conspiracy theory of these phenomena is no longer a conspiracy theory. The new conspiracy theory is where these things are coming from, right? And apparently, the current sentiment is that these craft are coming mainly from under the ocean. Is the ocean the abyss from the Bible, perhaps? Does it reference the oceans? I don't know. People who are really into, like, etymology and stuff would know better than me in that area, but it's an interesting correlation. Are the demons beginning to rise? The fallen ones preparing for the final war for Earth? Are they a long-lost empire that escaped into the depths to ensure the survival of their species long ago, during perhaps one of the great resets that occurred here on Earth? Or are they something else entirely?
But what's interesting about these close encounters, it's never beneficial. It's always deleterious. The best you're going to come away from with one of these encounters is recurring terrifying nightmares. Worst case scenario, you get killed. So they're harmful, but there's also evidence that there's deception involved in these encounters. Because when people claim to have had conversation with these UFO beings, they will claim, well, in fact, if you go back 100 years ago, they were saying they were from the backside of the moon. But when the public became educated enough to realize that's not credible, they changed their story and said, well, we're from Venus. And people realized how hot it is on the surface of Venus, they said they were from Mars. Well, now they're claiming to be from another planetary system. So the fact that they keep changing their story.
If there's anything that I gleaned from the November 13th UAP hearing, it's that the government knows all about this stuff. And they have for many, many, many years, a long time, since the beginning, pretty much. So the whole time that they were calling all of us conspiracy theorists, they were actually just flat out lying to ourselves and to the entire world. And now they're like not even hiding the fact that they were lying, but they're also not really confirming that they were lying either. So that tells me that something else is going on. Something is actually very bad that they're hiding, and we aren't allowed to know about it, and we haven't discovered it yet. Because if we, as in the masses, had found out what they were hiding, they wouldn't still be hiding it. They would just be like, yep, you got us, that's it. And it would basically be a universal symbol that we as a race are prepared for whatever they're about to reveal, and the propaganda worked, and all of our assumptions were right, and so therefore the secret, it doesn't really need to be a secret anymore. But that's not what's happening. So we must not know what they're hiding, and it must be horrifying. Because they basically gaslighted us for generations, and now all of a sudden they're just like, oh, yep, aliens are real, UFOs are real. And quite frankly, the reveal is kind of a letdown, I'm not going to lie, because it's almost like the government doesn't even care that we know. It's almost like all of the desensitization worked. The propaganda was effective. And we saw all the movies, and we played all the games, and we read all the comics and the little books, and just literally, as a human race, as an entire race, we completely absorbed the propaganda and the potential reality that aliens and UFOs are actually factually real and what they told us. Either little green men from outer space or a conspiracy theory. So when they finally drop the news, everybody's just like, almost, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the feeling I get, but like disappointed that they were right all along and that the government doesn't seem to think that it really even matters. It honestly feels like a really bad movie. It feels fake, like they're just paying all these whack jobs to come out here and testify some fake testimony on how aliens are real. And I've seen them, but I can't say the juicy stuff unless we're in a nuclear bunker buried 5 miles beneath the surface of the great state known as Kansas, with 50 Secret Service members hiding outside in camouflage and ghillie suits. So now that they're coming out and saying it's real, what can we assume? And these thousands of images and videos of UAP and potentially aliens and alien craft, which in some instances seem to be the exact same thing, more on that later, that are being hidden in the vaults that are straight up being confirmed to exist, pretty much means that they never needed to watch us and to see what we find. It's to see what we believe. They're not scouring the web for our crappy cell phone photos and putting us on lists because of images that can barely capture them effectively, because most likely that in of itself is a type of technology, just like that's why we can't see cryptids either. Yes, they are doing that. They are controlled burning. They are looking for your crappy images. They are censoring and they are purging. That's part of the whole thing. Anytime you upload something you're not supposed to upload, you're on a list, baby. Especially if it seems like you actually truly believe in what you're uploading. I'm the king of lists. I'm a former government employee. I just gotta hope that they think I just got knocked around too much in service and am just a little bit too loopy from all the shots they gave me when they owned me. Oh, and I'm not allowed to talk about, But anyway, if that list is compiled of other people who uploaded UAP videos that are just a little bit too revealing, then those images too will just poof. Disappear in a cloud of fart-colored dust. Because the internet is a controlled playground. This is not free reign. It's a beautiful library, but at the same time, it's an unquenchable meat grinder of information and content. Everything you can imagine, everything capable by man, you can find here. But the stuff that makes us question the purpose of humanity, of who we are, of what we are, that's the good stuff. That's the stuff that ends up in the vaults, in the Vatican, it's in the seed bunkers, and it's in Antarctica. It's all the places that they hide all their favorite stuff. And in any number of other mythical and amazing places. It could be in the Sphinx's head. It could be underneath, Machu Picchu. Who knows? But the point is, we were all just playing on the monkey bars and the swings and all the other things that kids need to advance their parameters within the limits that they're provided. The internet is the exact same thing. But just like on the playground, there's a limit to the playground. And if you walk outside that playground, which is barely even possible without an adult or special abilities, it's definitely more dangerous with real life consequences such as moving cars, throat cancer, murder, prison cells with sheet nooses, pre-installed government overwatch, blackmail, stuff like that. So you attempt to sell your junk on the playground and the adults notice, and then you're grounded. The playground just got smaller, especially for you, and that's how it works. So why the heck would they be making the playground bigger in the area of the most widespread conspiracy theory known to man, aliens and UFOs? It's just a question. But things are heating up these days. All these alien movies are being watched in a different light. For instance, was Nope the most accurate UFO movie of all time? I think so, probably. And if so, does that mean that we could be juiced by a cloud at any moment? Is that what the UFOs are? Is that what the aliens are? Are they in the sky, hiding in plain sight? I mean, a couple years ago, I'd be crazy to add that to the long list of weird ways to die, but this year, it does seem like the movie was maybe a premonition of sorts. Or is it going to be like Signs, maybe, and I'm just going to randomly see this reptilian being kind of jumping from bush to bush in my neighborhood, scaring my kids at birthday parties? Or am I actually going to be sucked up into the sky when I'm just like walking around in the woods, some kind of missing 411 thing, because all of a sudden that just got a lot scarier too? It brings the horror aspect out a little bit, if you ask me. There must be something here. During the U.S. House Oversight Committee hearing on November 13th, it was titled Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena, Exposing the Truth. Like, that's like the official title. And the witnesses discussed the existence of special access programs, SAPs, which are related to UAPs. And these special access programs are highly classified, and they're projects within the Department of Defense, and granting access only to individuals with a specific need to know. So even if you do have a clearance that perhaps these are classified at, there's another thing called need to know. Just because it is, you know, within your classification parameters, does not mean that you have the need to know to see it. So like we mentioned before, Luis Elizondo, he was one of the guys who testified here. And he said, let me be clear, UAP are real. Advanced technologies not made by our government or any other government are monitoring sensitive military installations around the globe. Dr. Tim Gallaudet, who's another guy who was here, he's a retired U.S. Navy Rear Admiral, recounted an incident from January 2015 during a naval exercise. He described receiving an email containing a video of an unidentified object exhibiting flight characteristics unlike anything in the U.S. arsenal. The following day, the email disappeared from his account and those of other recipients without explanation. It's like somebody just went into cyberspace and deleted the email. Dr. Gallaudet concluded that the UAP information must have been classified within a special access program managed by some intelligence agency. Now, these two testimonies suggest that certain UAP-related information is compartmentalized within SAPs. So even if everything was declassified, you still might not get access to it. It limits the access to a select group of individuals. And always remember that you, as, you know, just one of the masses, one of the hive, you don't get to know everything that everybody, like the president, gets to know. We don't get to know what the CIA knows. We never will. You know, and so even when they tell you declassification is coming, declassification on some stuff is coming. Most likely it's going to be just enough to get you to the next level of reality. You know, okay, UFOs are real. Okay, now we're here. Okay, there's, you know, biological beings inside them. Okay, now we're here and they're not from Earth. Okay, now they're here. So like they just keep giving us a little bit more, but eventually we're going to reach the top tier, which is, yeah, the Earth is ending in 48 hours. We are not sure exactly what's coming. And it might be some incredible figure on a horse coming to save the day. Who knows what it's going to be? Could be a armada of UAP. Who knows how the world will end, right? But what we do know now is that these things are allegedly here. So these guys testifying allegedly are on our side. But let's not jump the gun here. This is the 21CD podcast, guys, and I'm not the guy for alien overlord ideas. To my OGs who have been listening to me for a long time, you guys know that I'm a little bit skeptical of the whole alien thing. I always have been. I even have UFO encounter stories, but it's just I don't see it the same way that most other people seem to see it. I do think that most UFO, UAP that we see are somehow government tech, but I don't believe that that means that there's no alien UFOs either, and we're going to get into it. I just simply don't believe that that is the foremost fear of mankind, is that alien overlords are coming. And this is something that we really need to be super duper concerned about. I don't I don't know that it is that way. And my mind could be changed, just like it has been before. I've changed my mind on this podcast before. But as of now, this is just where I sit. Unless, and this was a very interesting bit, those overlords are under the ocean. I guess that would make them our underlords, which I just hate the sound of, but our overlords could be under the ocean or in the earth inside. Those are two places I regularly entertain the idea of some kind of master race or master being residing. And in this hearing, they touched on that very topic, so I really liked seeing that. And during this House Oversight Committee hearing on November 13th, UAP underwater were brought up, and the topic of underwater bases and unidentified craft operating in the ocean was discussed. And that's horrifying. That's absolutely horrifying. And of course, everybody brought up how we know even less about the ocean than we know about outer space. Why is that? And some people are speculating it's because some kind of alliance with the aliens that the governments have to sort of give them their space. Other people say it's just our tech is literally too limited to do so. But it was confirmed, according to these testifiers here, that there's a really, really good chance, if not 100% chance, that there are bases under the ocean that have completely managed to evade being detected, and otherworldly intelligences may be utilizing that base. Representative Lauren Boebert, that firecracker, raised concern about secretive underwater alien bases. Just like I'm doing right now. I am concerned about that. I will probably never get in a boat again. And she asked the panel of experts whether the government was aware of such installations or had engaged in genetic experiments involving humans and non-human entities.
There are rumors that have come up to the Hill of a secretive project within the Department of Defense involving the manipulation of human genetics with what is described as non-human genetic material, potentially for the enhancement of human capabilities, hybrids. Are any of you familiar with that? Yes or no?
They basically unanimously denied direct knowledge of underwater alien bases or related projects, but in such a way that clearly hinted that they're only denying it because we have to. Blackmail, torture, suicide, throat cancer. These are the things that they're worried about, right? Michael Schellenberger, who we mentioned earlier, claimed during his testimony that there is substantial evidence of UAP activity in oceanic environments. And he argued that intelligence agencies possess detailed imagery of such activity. And data on UAPs, including their operation near and beneath large bodies of water. Which explains why so much weird stuff happens around huge lakes, too. I'm starting to think, guys, that large bodies of water are literally where they are. Like, I did a ton of research on this whole alien UFO phenomenon before I did this episode because I knew I had to. I had to bring it. And upon the research being consumed, I do think that large bodies of water are where the bases are, and that's why we literally never see them. Okay? Schellenberger pointed to a lack of cooperation and transparency from the Pentagon, stating that the military and intelligence community is deliberately withholding information from Congress, specifically regarding this topic. And one of the most famous, let's bring this up too, underwater UAP cases, I want to go over a couple of them because I think they're important, but it occurred on October 4th in 1967 in Shag Harbor, Nova Scotia. Multiple witnesses, including Canadian military personnel, reported a craft crashing into the harbor. Divers were sent to investigate, but they found no wreckage. But reported very strange sonar readings, leading to speculation that the craft may have submerged and traveled along underwater pathways. Okay. In 2004, we have the infamous USS Nimitz Tic Tac incident, which everybody probably knows about. Pilots from the USS Nimitz carrier strike group encountered a tic-tac-shaped UAP off the coast of California, and the object demonstrated absolutely unearthly flight capabilities, such as sudden accelerations and sharp turns that are just impossible with the technology that we have now. And the object reportedly hovered over the ocean, disturbing the water's surface so they could see evidence on the natural world, as if something was just beneath. And some theorists suggest that the object may have been connected to an underwater base somehow. In 2013, in Puerto Rico, a UAP was recorded by a U.S. Customs and Border Protection aircraft near Aguadilla.
And so they basically watched and tracked and filmed that object for 3 minutes and 54 seconds. It makes a loop around the airport, and it then goes into the water. It hit the water at about 109 miles per hour. And then it pops up out of the water, and it splits into two identical objects, which have different radar signatures. So we questioned at first the source. We actually took a look at the radar, and we confirmed it matched all of the telemetry that you see on the actual screen.
After the fall of the Soviet Union, declassified naval documents revealed numerous reports of unidentified submerged objects, which are commonly called USOs, in the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans. Soviet submarine commanders described encounters with fast-moving underwater objects that exceeded the capabilities of any known submarine or torpedo. Because, guys, I do feel like that is one of the most horrifying things about the ocean, is that it's not just animals that are down there. Like, there are many accounts of some kind of monsters being in the deep from the dawn of time until modern ages. Some researchers propose that major oceanic trenches, such as the Mariana Trench, may serve as hidden corridors for UAP or USO activity. These trenches offer vast areas of unexplored territory and make them plausible hiding spots for advanced craft or bases. And why wouldn't you be there? It's one of the only places that mankind can't seriously screw up right now. Everywhere else, we're doing a great job of screwing up. Theory suggests that extraterrestrial species or advanced civilizations might be able to use Earth's oceans as hiding spots due to their inaccessibility to human tech. It's not a bad idea, and some underwater UAP sightings can be attributed to bioluminescent marine animals or unusual weather conditions. Let's not get it twisted. I'm not saying everything that is in the ocean and is unexplainable is a monster or a UFO or a USO. There's definitely crazy species down there as well. But I just think there's something down there. Representative Tim Burchett out of Tennessee said that the general public couldn't even grasp what's really going on. That's what he said. He said, we gotta know, but I don't think the general public really even grasps what's going on. So the question remains, if an asteroid was hurtling toward the Earth, would the government tell us? Probably not. So are we going to get the full story? Probably not. Because I think it is something of that magnitude. I don't usually feel this strongly about something like this, but I really do. And it doesn't really even matter who the president is, because public order is more important to leaders of nations than everyone being aware that aliens from the oceans are coming for their cheeks, okay? And it must be bad, whatever it is, because Tim Burchett made remarks about how this information has to get out, and Trump has to become president, because that's the only way that our minds will be awakened to what's really going on. Because everyone who knows the most about this stuff is dead, guys. Literally, that's what he said. What stuff? There's also stories about how airline pilots who see massive amounts of UFOs, apparently, are basically threatened by government agencies to never speak of what they see. And if any pilots are listening to this, go ahead and email me. But that's another thing. The point is that there's something wild going on with all this alien stuff, and I'm a little late to the party, but we're just not being told what it is. And they keep coming on the air and trying to tell us what it is, and they get us all worked up while they dance around the actual point of what they're trying to say, which is what this stuff is. They're just telling us there's stuff. And I think we live in some seriously critical times, folks. Like, I don't know if I'm just being conceited and saying that, because there are probably billions of people throughout history in their own mundane times who thought the same thing. But I mean, come on, the government is basically telling us that aliens exist on our planet and watch us go about our days. But no, there is no but, actually. They just are. And they might know where they come from. But for some reason, if they told you, they'd have to kill you. There's a missing piece. I want to know what it is. Another shocking word track that I picked up on, but seems to be somewhat glossed over online, was this biological quality of some of the craft and the effects that they have not only on biological beings, but also the fact that they seem to be biological. That means that the craft are alive in some way, or a component of the craft is alive. That's absolutely insane. And it really makes you wonder if they are abducting us to harvest our genetic or biological material so they can synthetically recreate it in order to build their most elite craft or something. I don't know. It really made me wonder about the Antrovis cult, which I did an episode on a long time ago. I don't remember what number it is, but they actually believed that they had to harvest body parts for the alien overlords, for their craft, because their craft was made out of body parts. That's nuts. So are the crafts alive? Are the orbs the pilots? I don't know. Neither do you. I'm just spitting out some ideas here. What if the unidentified craft that people are seeing in our skies isn't just advanced tech, but it's actually an organic entity, alive and in ways we don't fully understand? If such a craft can cloak itself from sight and detection, it's not a stretch of the imagination to suggest that its occupants, if they exist, could do the same. And maybe those are orbs, maybe they're not. I'm on this idea that maybe orbs are pilots in some way. But anyway, I digress. Think about it. If these beings could render themselves invisible, which I believe they can, they could theoretically be standing in the room with you right now. Without specialized equipment like FLIR, which is forward-looking infrared, you'd never even know that they were there, because so far that's one of the only ways that we've been able to detect them. That could be the reality that they can't reveal to us, because that is horrifying. The concept shifts the entire conversation about the paranormal, ghosts, apparitions, cryptids, the strange sensations that people report when no one is there, the prick on the back of your neck. All of that can be recontextualized. What if those aren't spirits of the dead, but the residual effects or even direct presence of cloaked, intelligent entities? And people who use Ouija boards and are like, no, I can tell when it's my ancestor talking to me. Maybe they're messing with you, bro. Maybe they're messing with you. Or maybe I'm wrong. It's a mind-bending idea, right? Maybe I'm wrong. But it could merge what we think of as supernatural phenomena with science a little bit. Now think about the implications of disclosing that to the public. This isn't just about upsetting religious frameworks or challenging our understanding of the universe. It's about safety. Yeah, like, how would society react to the knowledge that invisible, potentially intelligent entities could be literally around you personally at all times? Like you, for the purpose of you. Unseen and undetectable, entirely unrestricted. The mere idea, I think, could incite massive paranoia, massive unrest, and probably a breakdown of trust in public spaces. I think people would lose their minds. I think we would have sort of like a Venom sort of Tom Hardy relationship going on amongst a lot of people. New disorders would come into existence. How would you feel knowing that there could be something in the corner of your room observing and you'd never know? And they enjoy it just as much as you enjoy playing a video game or watching a movie or doing your VR. And you'd never know. Until you do, until that banging that you think is a ghost or you think is a goblin, which is what I'm going through right now, is actually your own personal alien. That level of uncertainty shakes the very foundation of what it means to feel secure, because security is impossible. So I believe this is one reason why full disclosure hasn't happened. Governments are not just sitting on this information out of some abstract sense of secrecy. I know we look at them and we think they're just a bunch of idiots, but we're only seeing the forward-facing characters in government, mind you. There is a whole host of agencies, and don't even consider the shadow government, but a whole bunch of people who are a whole lot smarter than the people that are on TV. And those are the guys who are actually in charge of doing stuff a lot of the time. And those are the guys who actually have the secrets and decide who gets to know what. So when we think they're being stupid and won't just release what we already know, understand that you are mistaken. There is something we don't know. And they're calculating the societal and psychological fallout of whatever it is. And there's more to it. Governments, especially the American government, don't just operate in the realm of altruism, right? They think in terms of power and profit. If there is a revelation to be had, it will likely be parceled out in ways that serve political agendas, secure control, of course, and inevitably make money. Consider Luis Elizondo again. He's been this key figure in the disclosure movement. What we're learning from him might not be unfiltered truth. Instead, it might be the version of the truth that best suits governmental strategies, right? Information is power, and governments have a long history of wielding it selectively to maintain their grip on the narrative that they carefully craft. The full scope of what these UFOs are, where they come from, and what their occupants, if any, are or are capable of, might never come out, at least not in the way that we think. We might actually find out before they tell us. Because governments control the narrative 100%. They hold the keys to the data, the evidence, and the platforms for disclosure. And when a single entity monopolizes the truth, it rarely leads to good outcomes. So information becomes weaponized, manipulated to serve interests far removed from those of the public. The level of control stifles understanding and breeds distrust. That's something they just can't have. If it ever happens, like full disclosure, all of the sudden, all of humanity will probably be very skeptical and unsure of their government. And we would be left with this uneasy reality. How would you go about your regular day anymore? If there are beings capable of cloaking themselves, slipping through our lives undetected, manipulating our lives in ways, like, how far does it go? When we lose something that we thought we surely put somewhere, is that us being messed with? How invasive is it, actually? Can they impact our minds, our decisions? Do they make us do terrible things? Can they possess us in ways? Can they make us sick? All we can do is speculate. You know? In the meantime, governments, institutions, and private entities will continue to wrestle, essentially, with how to politicize and capitalize on this and control the knowledge of it. But they know it's happening. And for the rest of us, all we can do is literally sit here and wonder if that sense of being watched might be more real than we ever dared to believe. Equally as interesting is this concept of a black triangle craft that many people report sharing their awareness with. The black triangle craft is scary, guys. There's something about it. The black triangle craft, it's typically described as very large, very silent, and obviously triangular in shape. It's often seen at night with three distinct lights, one at each corner, and sometimes a red light in the center. And it appears to defy conventional propulsion, often moving with no visible means of thrust. People who come into contact with the craft report feeling the very presence of it. They can feel that it's there. And there are claims of telepathic communication or even shared thoughts with the object. Just bizarre. People report a sense of calm, sometimes awe, or a profound fear, depending on the nature of the encounter. During the infamous Hudson Valley UFO wave, multiple witnesses reported seeing massive black triangular craft. Some described feeling a telepathic presence, as though the craft was aware of their observation, and one witness even stated, "It felt like it was looking right back at me. I wasn't just watching it, it was watching me too, almost as if it was reading my thoughts." During the Belgian UFO wave in the late 80s, triangular craft were spotted near rivers and lakes, sometimes hovering low and silent, and witnesses described feelings of calm or even in some sort of mental connection to the object. Like, the craft wasn't just being piloted, but was very much alive and aware of their presence. And don't forget the Phoenix Lights event in 97. Most recall a V-shaped formation. Some residents reported triangular shapes gliding silently over the desert as well. There's also speculation that these aren't just machines, right? They might be alive, like biomechanical entities designed to observe us, maybe even interact with us on a cognitive level. Or maybe they're just 100% alive. They're not biomechanical. They're just bio. Or obviously, if that's a little bit too much, if you prefer a more human explanation, some argue that these are secret government experiments, testing highly advanced craft in remote waters. Maybe the connection we feel isn't extraterrestrial. It's electromagnetic, and it messes with our brainwaves like some unintentional side effect of tech. And of course, skeptics abound. Nobody really wants to believe what may potentially be the truth, which is that these are actual living beings, these are actual spiritual entities, these are something that are real and not human technology. And those types of people, they say it's just advanced military equipment, guys, or some kind of natural phenomena like glowing marine life or misidentified aircraft. But listen, if it is our tech, why does it keep showing up where it shouldn't? Maybe because our enemies have it, right? But maybe for another reason too. Maybe it's not our tech. And why is the government so silent? Or worse, sort of scrambling to classify every shred of evidence or delete it from the internet? Whatever the answer, one thing is very clear. If these black triangles are coming from the ocean, then we've got a lot more to fear. If these UFOs are coming from the ocean, if these, you know, USOs are actually present and these bases are down there, then we have a lot more to explore beneath the ocean than we ever imagined. Another type of craft that just creeps me out is, and this craft is supposedly organic in some way, and it has a distinctly jellyfish shape. It's the jellyfish UAP. And this is a term used to describe a class of unidentified aerial phenomena that resemble the translucent glowing appearance of a jellyfish. And these sightings often reports the object as a large atmospheric kind of entity, exhibiting both organic and mechanical characteristics in an unsettling kind of way. It's typically described as dome-shaped or bell-like, resembling the main body of a jellyfish, and then beneath the dome, tentacle-like appendages or trailing filaments extend downward, and these structures seem kind of fluid and dynamic. Sometimes they pulse or they wave ever so slightly, as though interacting with the surrounding environment. And size estimates vary. It's kind of hard to pin down, but some reports suggest diameters ranging from a few meters to several tens of meters. And the appendages can extend far below, too. It sometimes can have a kind of massive, otherworldly type presence. The surface of the dome of this UAP seems semi-transparent or translucent and kind of allows internal structures or glowing patterns to be partially visible through it. And witnesses describe the texture as gelatinous, similar to the appearance of jellyfish. This gives it a very biological and organic feel. At times, the object exhibits a smooth metallic sheen, and that sort of suggests that it might be a hybrid of organic and inorganic materials. The UAP can sometimes be seen to emit a soft glowing light, and colors are also reported. They include blue and purple, sometimes green, and there's usually a pulsating rhythm to them. Otherwise, the creature, the craft, has sort of a bioluminescent-like flicker and kind of patterns that dance across its surface that resemble neural activity or an energy-based life form. And this thing moves very fluid in kind of a drifting motion as though swimming through the atmosphere. It's really bizarre. And if you guys are listening to me on a podcast platform, just know I do have videos on YouTube because there are plenty of videos of this thing. And it's capable of sudden bursts of speed, very sharp turns, and even hovering in place. These are all movements that defy known aerodynamics for the most part, right? In some accounts, the UAP interacts with the environment by emitting light beams, sometimes dropping stuff, creating static electrical disturbances, or influencing local weather phenomena, like sudden wind shifts or cloud formations, stuff like that. Witnesses report a noticeable charge, like almost like electrical, in the air, similar to the feeling before a lightning strike or a storm. Really creepy stuff. This one really gets me. I don't know why. It creeps me out. And the idea of organic craft also creeps me out. So the organic appearance and behavior suggests that it could be an actual life form that adapted to the upper atmosphere. Its glowing patterns and fluid movements do resemble marine organisms, particularly jellyfish, and we often argue and talk about how jellyfish and beings like the octopus don't really seem to be from here, which is kind of ironic, I guess. And the hybrid organic mechanical features hint at that bioengineered craft that you would expect to be possibly extraterrestrial. There's also the pulsating movements, which could be part of a propulsion system that mimics biological processes. Maybe it's not biological, but it's made to look like it. It also might not be a physical object at all, but an interdimensional entity that only, you know, partially manifests in our reality or manifests as something that it didn't really intend to manifest as. If it is organic, it could represent an entirely new branch of life adapted to the sky, much like deep sea creatures adapted to extreme ocean depths and the whole sky whale phenomenon, that kind of stuff. If it's artificial, then it definitely challenges our understanding of engineering, propulsion, and material sciences. I mean, no doubt about it. Like, we have these videos that are confirmed and nobody knows what these things are. The only other explanation that people give that seems to have any weight whatsoever is that it's a bird poop smudge on the lens of whatever this camera is. Guys, I urge you to watch the video. It's not bird poop. So this is by far the creepiest UAP I've ever seen. And like I said before, there's just something about it that just disturbs me. Maybe it's the phalanges. It's also, in a weird way, definitely the most humanoid-looking craft we've seen yet. It seems distinctly alien. Like, maybe that one isn't on our side. I don't know. And I'm just saying, too, by the way, remember when they tried to convince us back in 2023 that it was just illegal miners on jetpacks attacking those villagers in Peru? Remember the face peelers? I did an episode on them, too. I don't know. Kind of seems now like those villagers could have been describing something like this jellyfish UAP, too. I'm just saying. We always knew it was a cover-up, but maybe the pieces are coming together a little bit, finally. For the most part, it seems like these craft, however, you know, that is an interesting incident, and I'm not saying that is what it is, but for the most part, it does seem like these craft don't really mess with most of us too much. And I think that's why people aren't freaking out completely, is because these things aren't actually messing with us on a regular daily basis like it appears they could if they wanted to. But when they do, the experiences are absolutely horrifying. And I want to bring up something else too. And this gets a little bit crazy, guys. I got two stories. There's the one, an F-22 Raptor, and he was boxed in by these mysterious orbs and the disappearance of Malaysia Airlines Flight MH370. Those are my two stories. They seem kind of unrelated at first glance, but I'm telling you, you're going to want to hear this. There are some strange similarities that might hint at something much larger and far stranger than we can explain. So, people may have heard of this story with the F-22 Raptor. It's one of the most advanced fighter jets in the world, right? And it's built for stealth and speed, and it's pretty much unmatched in aerial combat. But in this story, even the Raptor was not able to outmaneuver these orbs. So during what seemed like a routine flight, the jet was suddenly just surrounded by three, what he described as metallic orbs, the pilot. And they were very silent and very precise. And the spheres formed a triangle around the craft. They didn't attack. They didn't flee. They just sort of stalked him. They like imprisoned him midair. And they just matched every single move that the F-22 made as though they were studying it. But also as if they could read the pilot's mind. And the orbs displayed abilities that just completely defy physics, obviously. They could accelerate instantly, make sharp turns at very high speeds, and hover with no visible propulsion. And when the pilot attempted to break free, the orbs literally vanished, accelerating at speeds no human-made object could achieve. And I believe they went straight up into the air. And for the pilot, that was a terrifying encounter. If our most advanced tech couldn't touch these objects, what are they? And what did they want? But how does this relate to MH370? Do you guys remember that Malaysia Airlines flight? I'm sure most of you do. It wasn't that long ago, and it's absolutely an insane situation that for some reason not everybody in the world is like just demanding to know what happened. On March 8th in 2014, Malaysia Airlines flight MH370 disappeared without a trace, taking 239 passengers and crew with it. Just all gone. Nobody knows where it went. Mid-flight. To this day, it is one of aviation's greatest mysteries. And about 40 minutes after takeoff, this is what happened. The plane's transponder was turned off, and it veered off course for an unknown reason. Radar picked it up, and there's all sorts of weird little details on this. A lot of people know a lot more than me, and there's a lot of information in this story. So I'm just giving you the brief rundown. But yes, there's tons of rabbit holes to go down with this one. But radar picked it up heading west over the Strait of Malacca before it vanished completely. Satellite data suggests that it continued flying for hours before crashing into the Indian Ocean. But the wreckage has literally never been found, and more information came out later that that might not be what actually happened. And here's where things kind of get strange. Some reports and controversial videos, which I kind of believe, claimed that glowing orbs were seen near MH370's last known location, like the orbs that confronted the F-22, and these objects moved in ways that defied explanation, just like those orbs. So did they observe the plane, and did they interfere, and could they have even been responsible for its disappearance? There are some videos where the plane appears to be completely just poof, it's gone. Was that because the orbs were harvesting genetic material for their craft? Biologic material, perhaps? Just like the ancient Anunnaki did when they created the Nephilim, the Elohim, when they created the Nephilim, depending on whether you want the historical or the spiritual account. I'm just saying, sounds kind of like that, if that's what it is. The same stuff that's been happening for centuries, but with different frames of perspective, in different times. The simplest explanation of what this all means, though, if you can call it a simple explanation, is that the orbs are probably extraterrestrial, and they might be drones sent to monitor Earth by some kind of higher intelligence. Maybe they're studying our tech and behavior without directly interfering. Another possibility is that the orbs are human-made, part of a secret military or corporate program far ahead of public knowledge. We don't know about it. Like I said, we're not going to know everything. We're not allowed, and quite frankly, you wouldn't want to know everything that the government knows. It's too much, guys. Some other theories suggest that the orbs might be interdimensional or time-traveling entities. I'm starting to think that, and that they are able to pilot craft somehow, and also shapeshift. Orbs might be angels of some sort, guys. Like, I think they are a spiritual being. I really, really do. If that's the case, MH370 could have been pulled into another dimension, while the F-22 encounter was more like a display of their ability to manipulate our reality. So I do believe they can take you, and they have taken people. We have so many accounts of abductions that it's staggering, and some of them are completely unsolved, like the case of MH370. We also can't forget the abductions that are never reported at all. Also, what about the missing 411 stuff? Like it keeps going. They are taking people. They are harvesting something. What is it? Catherine Austin Fitz is an American investment banker and former public official known for her extensive career in finance and government. Sounds kind of boring, right? And she was born on December 24th, 1950 in Philadelphia, and she earned a Bachelor of Arts in History and an MBA from the University of Pennsylvania. Mega snooze fest. But she turned her life mission into something a little more extraordinary than banking, okay? And this is crazy. The Fitz has extensively explored the financial dimensions of unidentified flying objects and related phenomena. The financial dimensions of these things. That's such a crazy study. And drawing from her experience as Assistant Secretary of Housing and Urban Development and her tenure on Wall Street, she has investigated the allocation of substantial funds into classified programs, often referred to as the black budget. Fitz says that these covert financial channels may be linked to the development of advanced tech, including those associated with UFOs. She says the following of the whole UAP, UFO phenomenon in relation to the government.
The way I came to study the UFO phenomenon was twofold. One is I kept looking for the enormous amounts of money that was disappearing. And if you add up, since the 1948 decision, how much money has been disappearing down the black budget? You know, you walk away with a model of literally the developed world is just being harvested for enormous amounts of monies. I estimate since the early 90s, $40 trillion just in North America alone. Enormous amounts of money going down this hole. And the question is, where is it going? And finally, you know, I have this other phenomenon where you have trillions of dollars of hardware flying around in advanced technology, and you have a corporate infrastructure which is, in essence, out of control in terms of the national security state. Because what happened in 1948 is, I think, one of the most pivotal things that's happened in the 20th century, and that was a private group of corporations got control of the black technology and the government lost control. Because it was not the government. To keep this secret, you had to keep it, you know, two steps removed from governmental bureaucrats who were liable under FOIA and other transparency laws and reporting to Congress. You had to move it way black. And so operationally, the corporations get control. Operationally, you're reverse engineering the technology into Silicon Valley, into, you know, the Boston Ring, into all these places. And then suddenly, because they're developing the technology, they in essence control it and even own it. And so if you look at an enormous amount of the equity valuation that's come from advanced technology, a lot of that, you know, if you look at the history of it, should really belong to the American people, to the taxpayer. But it was literally a transfer and a gift. So here we have a whole secret infrastructure of private corporations and investors who control the most advanced technology in the world. And we're depending on them for the evolution of whatever this response is to the phenomena, you know, and it's all happening in secret.
So is that just it? We just allow the corporations who have black technology, who have otherworldly technology, to sort of dictate how our future is played out based on when they want to reveal and how they want to reveal that tech? And are they going to manipulate our reality with it before they reveal what our future will hold? Are they going to change the course of mankind to one that better suits them? How intense is this technology? What could they do with it? Also, could this advanced technology be the same advanced tech that our ancestors had, right? The tech that allowed them to do wondrous things like build advanced civilizations and move mountains and melt stone and build the megaliths and annihilate entire races of human and non-human beings, the Nephilim, the giants, blah, blah, blah. Do the world governments finally possess that tech and maybe have for a little while? But that's the big secret. That's the one we've wanted to know all along, but we're still not allowed to know. We kind of know, but not really. We don't know the capabilities of this tech. We don't know how they're going to use it on us. We don't know the truth about life and the world we live in either. And it's clear by the very existence of this tech that we live in a world where our entire existence is, in essence, a lie. In simpler terms, Earth may have been visited by something extraordinary, potentially from another galaxy, right? Through a portal, or even via like an interstellar object like Oumuamua. For those who don't know what that is, it's that object that passed through our solar system in 2017. I believe I said it right, Oumuamua. And it sparked significant interest and debate among scientists. Its name means scout or messenger in Hawaiian, and that kind of reflects its status as the first known interstellar object observed visiting our solar system. So I don't know, maybe something came off of that. Whatever its origin, it could be something completely spiritual. It could be something interdimensional. But these visitors settled not in the skies, but in our oceans. Maybe drawn to the vastness, the inaccessibility, the suitability as a hidden habitat. I suspect that these beings, wherever they came from, currently reside deep within our oceans. Perhaps around locations such as the eastern coast of Mexico, where unexplained underwater activity has been reported for a while now. And their presence may explain events like the infamous Roswell crash. I propose that what we think of as a drunk alien, because they kind of describe the alien who crashed at Roswell as kind of like the drunk alien or some other mishap, whatever it was, it led to one of their crafts crash landing in 1947. And then the U.S. government seized the wreckage. They uncovered advanced materials, propulsion systems, tech far beyond anything we'd ever seen, right? And recognizing the monumental significance of these discoveries, the government handed them over to private defense contractors, because the government is just the government. They still have to have other corporations and contractors do work for them. So they gave this tech to companies like Lockheed Martin, Skunk Works, Northrop Grumman, and Raytheon, and those companies were told, reverse engineer this technology and give us something super awesome with it. So these companies became so desperate to acquire crash debris so that they could get money and contract deals and whatever, advance their own technology, compete with the competitors that had this same UFO tech, because the government obviously doesn't care if you can't keep up. They're going to run with the big dogs. So you want to be one of the big dogs. So these companies could even have had deadly conflicts, basically battling for UFO material. These companies are. Just like when ship's captains go out and they go treasure hunting, when they find the treasure isn't theirs. That's not the case with these corporations. These corporations are the ship's captains. And what they find, the governments are sort of like, okay, you can have it as long as you make us tech with it. That's what it is. But over time, okay, through this reverse engineering process, these defense giants, these companies, these corporations develop crafts that mimic the original designs, the ones that crashed here, the ones that they are supposed to be exactly like. And that could explain some of our sightings of so-called man-made UFOs. So you might be listening to this and being like, okay, so what? That's kind of just, you know, an elaborate way of saying that the government is doing all this. Why hasn't this been disclosed to the public? I believe that the answer lies in the sheer power of these crafts and the fear of what could happen if such technologies fell into the wrong hands. Firstly, I do think there's an element of that. I don't think that's all of it, but I think there's an element of that. And the implication of these technologies, like propulsion systems that defy physics and energy sources that could replace fossil fuels or weapons capabilities that make nuclear arms look primitive, I think all of this is staggering. And governments may worry that revealing such advancements could destabilize geopolitics or lead to incredible misuse. The rabbit hole of secrecy surrounding this issue is likely over a century old. This isn't some new thing involving not just the modern military industrial players, but also potentially having deep historical threads to the past. There's really no way to know when this whole thing started. It could have started from the beginning. This might have been a big, deep secret that, you know, the leaders of the free world and whatnot have been passing down for forever. And we're just living in this narrative that has been engineered for us so that they have power in this modern age, not the beings that are actually in power. I believe that they know that the entire world being awakened to the fact that there are otherworldly beings among us would shatter human existence as we know it. They're among us. The entire narrative will be dismantled brutally, and in an instant, it will be revealed that everything that they ever said to us is a lie. We will come into the understanding that both our government and the visitors are in possession of this technology, this wild alien tech that can do what can only be described as magic. Guys, the world of our ancestors is returning, as it always does. And it appears that we might all bear witness to some of the most incredible sights in the coming years. I mean, like, in all honesty, I barely scratched the surface of what they said at this hearing so far. Questions were raised about the possibility of them being interdimensional beings, which is, of course, one of my huge beliefs personally. But before we go, let me leave you with a new idea involving all of this. Because I know we're all just wondering, okay, what is it? What is the thing? I want to give you a new way of looking at the UFO, UAP phenomenon in the modern age. And I've got to thank some wild minds over on Reddit for this one too, by the way. The question is, why would a secret UFO program be called Immaculate Constellation? And just so we're all on the same page, this is pure speculation. We're all still trying to piece things together. And without theories and wild speculation, we won't push the conversation forward. You have to say weird stuff to keep the conversation going. I got hit with hundreds of messages after my last post about how I shouldn't be writing stuff like this. So, just to be clear, let's just say that this is all for entertainment. If we don't ask the weird questions and toss out ideas, then we won't get any closer to understanding the big picture. Take this as part of the brainstorming. Nothing more, nothing less. So we've all heard about Immaculate Constellation by now, and the secret UFO retrieval program that is designed to sweep in and grab alien tech before the military can even get a whiff of it, right? But what's with this religious nod? After all, they want to act like religion is just something for people to pass the time, has no weight. But Immaculate Conception refers to the Catholic belief that the Virgin Mary was conceived without original sin, pure from the very beginning. So why use a name with such heavy religious baggage? And I've got a theory for you. By the end, you might think this is about way more than just snagging some alien tech. Immaculate means purity, protection. It isn't just about being clean, it's about being pure, untouched by corruption. So think about it in the context of Immaculate Constellation. This program isn't just scooping up UFOs before the public or other governments can get their hands on them. It's about keeping the truth pure. What if they're ensuring that whatever they're retrieving isn't just hidden, but stays uncorrupted by public interference, or worse, by the UFO phenomenon itself? What if they're guarding more than technology? What if they are protecting human consciousness from something that we aren't ready for? Constellation isn't just a cool space word. It's about connecting dots. In its literal sense, a constellation is a group of stars that forms a recognizable pattern, right? But what if Immaculate Constellation is doing the same thing? What if they are mapping out an entire network of UFO encounters, figuring out how these events connect to something much bigger? Something cosmic, something we haven't fully seen yet, but they're beginning to understand. And that's when things get really interesting. Luis Elizondo and Ross Cauthart have both mentioned the Collins Elite, which is a shadowy group within the government that believes these aliens aren't from space at all. And these people are some of the people who testified. They think UFOs are demonic entities tricking us. That's what they believe. And that even studying them could lead to spiritual harm. So, yeah, demons, not aliens. The theory goes that interacting with these beings could corrupt us in ways that we don't understand. So maybe Immaculate Constellation isn't just about retrieval. Maybe it's about stopping these demonic forces from gaining influence. And then that brings us to Tom DeLonge. He's taken this idea even further. According to him, these entities feed off negative emotions like fear and anger and hatred. But here's the twist. He believes that positive emotions, love and joy, are like poison to them. He's even said that in the middle of an abduction, calling out the name of Jesus or Buddha or even the source of galactic love can stop the experiences entirely. It's not about religion. It's about the energy that you project. So what if the UFO phenomenon isn't just about spaceships? What if it's about consciousness? Could human consciousness be the ultimate weapon or defense against these entities? DeLonge also claims that the government has been running psyops, not to trick us, but to trick the phenomenon itself, with the goal to keep these others, these aliens, in the dark about how much humanity actually knows. According to him, this is all about making sure we're prepared for when the time comes to fight back, essentially. He believes that when people finally learn the truth, they're going to lose a lot of their cynicism about the government. It's not just about hiding UFOs. It's about protecting us from something far more dangerous than we realize. What if Immaculate Constellation isn't just about retrieving UFOs? What if it's part of a much bigger war? One that's not just about technology, but human consciousness. The Collins Elite, which is an organization that believed that even engaging with these beings was risky. It could lead to spiritual deception on a massive scale. So when we talk about Immaculate Constellation, we might not just be talking about a UFO retrieval program. And I think we should all start thinking about that with all of these disclosures. We could be looking at a covert effort to protect humanity from forces that aren't just extraterrestrial, but possibly demonic. Who knows? Maybe the ultimate weapon isn't technology. It's what we've got in here. A lot of people believe that the church and the sort of control structure, the shadow governments of the world, the narrative writers, you know, is, all of that is the biggest fear. To them, people waking up to spirituality and to their own power is the greatest fear. As opposed to keeping us as blind sheep kneeling at the throne of all these different religions, these politics, you know, these technicalities, the wealthy elite, all this kind of stuff. If we separate from that and awaken spiritually, that is their biggest fear. And that's what the primary message is from, you know, many groups in the UAP community. And that's that, you know, spiritual growth is what we need most on this planet. We as a planetary race are essentially living in a stunted, false, and dumbed-down reality construct that centers almost entirely around material and physical existence alone and focuses on consumption and materialism and holds minimal concern for the planet or our souls or our spirit. The biggest threat to humanity is ourselves. So what we have is a war, and it goes a bit like this. Bigfoot, Dogman, ghosts, Loch Ness, shadow people, Mothman, and UFOs are all related somehow. Religion is not something that is separate from all of this, but rather it is the exact thing that they, the Anunnaki, the Elohim, the Fallen Ones, whatever you want to call them, caused through their power and influence over mankind. Demons is the correct biblical name for some of these beings that we are calling aliens. And though some room for change is here, because I don't believe fallen angels and demons are the same exact thing in every instance, this is what the ancients called non-human intelligence, okay? This is what they referred to, the aliens that we refer to today as aliens. This renders the biblical stories accurate and non-fictional. Like all things, though, the proper frame of reference has to be set in order to accurately transcribe the messages. But basically, certain angels began to get jealous of mankind and the love and power that God was giving to this new creation of his, man. They began to search for ways to cause man to stumble and to fall. And they began to gossip among each other and convince each other and complain that, you know, there was no room in heaven for all of them and the humans and God. And they did what they could to incite unrest among the angels in heaven. And some of the angels were actually convinced and influenced, and they became corrupted and joined with this rebel group of angels who would fall. But some angels remained firm, and they knew that God had a plan and that all of this would be just fine. So these two groups are sort of fighting over the humans that God created, right? And at this point, they may fear what we will become when we are redeemed. They may also fear what we can become if they do not actively cause us to stumble. It's possible that even being mortal, without their influence, we would grow to magnificent capabilities, both biologically and spiritually. And the reason they won't tell us it's happening is because, well, it would literally change everything and trigger irreversible change spiritually, physically, mentally in the world that would render them powerless. Both the governments and these beings. Ironically, that's how it'll all end anyway. Spoiler alert. So there you have it. Eat your heart out. Reality as we know it is changing. Wake up. Open your eyes. We've been dreaming for a very long time. Listen, everybody, this was a little bit of a longer one. Thanks for experiencing 21st century dystopian. Don't drink the water and question everything.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.